Welcome to the noonday, my fellow thinkers. I'm coming to you from cool, relaxed, and collected Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Logan Eldine Misseldine. And welcome to today's Potless Thoughts. So, thanks for coming back, everybody. I'm here once again. It's Friday, the day of days. And I'm going to start this off with, sorry if there's any extra little bit of movement. I'm preparing for tomorrow, which is the opening of squirrel season, so I'm just lubing up and getting lock, stocked, and cocked up here, so just ready to go out and experience the woods once again. But right now I'm just cleaning off rust and other things that might have developed from my guns, and so might be some clicking. There's also a cat in here with me, so she might start pestering at me, so I'm gonna try and reduce as much unneeded noise as possible, but just bear with me, everybody. But I thought that in lieu of it being on the eve of an outdoor adventure day that y'all are gonna see, I got a new phone, the other one busted, so y'all are gonna see some better pictures, I hope. So we're gonna, I won't have to edit as much. I had a nice fancy little trick of making them look better than they actually did. But I thought that because of this, the fact that I'm going out, that I would recount another adventure in the woods, even though this time it's not so much in the woods. But this one might be a little bit shorter, too, so it's not going to be as long for all y'all. But I thought that this one would be about my time in Camp Bartlett. So we're going to transition into that in a minute. But yeah, no, this was the premise I should give probably is that I was 12 years old. This is the first time I was on a scout trip without my dad. So this was pretty formative, pretty big, and felt pretty big for my britches, and I obviously could not handle it on my own. Which we're going to learn about, but we're going to dip into that right now. I'm going to give you guys a short little transition so I can gather my notes again. So hold on tight, everybody. I'm coming back. Okay, everybody. Sorry for the long wait. I'm back now. I also had to wrangle my my not so little kitten like cat from underneath behind the dresser. She's been trying to hide from us periodically for no apparent reason. So you might hear some skittering or scattering, but we're good to go now. So the story that I'm talking about was when I was 12. It was at a camp called Camp Bartlett, and this is in the northernmost part of Utah, located on and next to Bear Lake. This is a lake that's big enough to span between both Idaho and Utah, as well as being a very, very large lake, very full of boat activity, fishing activity, obviously scout activity, and just a lot of lounging. There's a lot of beach you can relax on. It's a very fun lake. It's not too terribly smelly from what I remember. So it was pretty fresh. It's actually really fresh water. And there's a camp called Camp Bartlett located just on one stretch of it, you know, stretch of privately owned land. And it's a really pretty place. The lake is gorgeous, especially in the morning and the afternoons. The water, I don't know what it is about. Actually, I'm about to sneeze. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, everybody. Oh, man, terrible. But I don't know what it is about either just going out west, the higher elevation. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it just seems that the water out there and everything is just however many degrees so much cooler than out here in the east. Water gets kind of cold out here in the east, but just compared to what it is out west, oh my Atlanta, it's just crazy. It's just, and this is the midsummer too, and I just remember it was just some of the coldest water I've ever been in. Really clear though, really, really quality water. I remember just the first day, just kind of lounging in the water after getting set up. My troop had what's called a spring bar tent, which is, they're amazing. They're these large, large tents. They're very easy to set up. They could fit a lot of people, and they only have a few options. Or, I mean, I don't know if they really exist anymore, but they only had a few options of sizes, but they all fit like at least five people at the very least, and their gear. Just very large, open, spacious tents with, I think, because they had spring-loaded poles, which is where I think they get the name spring bar, which would make sense. But I remember we just had some community. We had like two community spring bars that were associated with the troop, and so we used those predominantly. And I brought my own little tent for a gear tent because this is the first time I was away from my dad, so I didn't want to like be ostracized by anybody or ostracize myself. Not that like everybody already knew me, but this was my first year like being there because I was old enough actually, and so like I was actually part of the crew. So you know, I wanted to fit in as best I could, but now I'm getting off the point. But so the first day we set all that up, we just toured everything. There was because of being on the water, it predominantly had a lot of water activity, from boating to swimming to anything to do with the water. And at this point in my life, I was really, really into fishing. And tried hunting it at this point in my life. And so, fishing took up a lot of my time, most of my time. And I still am a terrible fisherman. And I'll tell a little anecdote from that. But I, there was everything that you needed on land. There were campsites that weren't like not in amongst trees, and there were paths and trails like you'll find in any other one. But like I said, it was predominantly centered around the water activity, rightly so. But I enjoyed my time here, and I'm being 12 and dumb. I conscripted myself to not wearing any sunscreen throughout the whole thing, because I felt like I would only get tanner, and if I had sunscreen, that I wouldn't get tan whatsoever, and I didn't really care, and I didn't really think that sunscreen really applied to me, because I have olive-toned skin. I am white, people. This is something I need to worry about, but more about that later as well. But so we get along, and we meet the staff, and the staff, you know, meets with us, and we eat, And we enjoy our time, and it was a beautiful, beautiful week where hardly any clouds in the sky, no ill weather whatsoever. And we just really had a blast the first night and just ate and talked and told stories about how this Bear Lake connects to Scotland's Loch Ness Monster Lake. I forgot what that's called, probably Loch Lake or something. But we told a ton of Chuck Norris jokes. This is the time of Chuck Norris jokes, like heyday, pretty much, at least in my life. And so we continued on that path for a while. And then the classes I signed up for, there was forestry and there was some online ones, but the ones that I was most excited about were I took rowing and I took water sports. I actually took water sports. I'm not particularly skilled or enjoy that to its fullest extent necessarily, but I was excited and most of my friends were doing it. So I decided, you know what, why not? Not that like I didn't want to do it. I just, you know, I was like, oh, let me, I was more for being with them than anything else. But one thing I really wanted to do was wakeboarding. So, for whatever reason, anything to do with skiing has never really appealed to me. Skiing isn't really my thing. I've done it once, but I didn't really like it. I like boards more. Obviously, since, you know, I'm a longboarder as well. But so we get to this class, and it was run by the director of the camp, and he was up there in age, crotchety. I mean, he was crotchety. I'm not gonna lie, he's crotchety, and he was stuck in his ways, and he had a very pompous attitude. Probably hence why he became the director. But he ran that class because I think it was the most popular, and so I'm surprised I even made it in. You know, waitlist and stuff. I learned about this stuff later, but I was amongst the middle class, so he'd already had some beforehand, and so he'd already some experience to talk about how annoying these kids were, this, that, and that, this thing and that thing. And we get, you know, obviously the first day we don't get on the water yet, and, you know, some just procedural stuff, some paperwork and stuff, because this is for a merit badge, it's not just for fun, so there's not, like, anything that, you know, to just get out there already. But I remember, you know, the next couple of days, like, we're just all thirsting for wakeboarding. Everybody does, and everybody would. And I think he didn't like that. I think because he's old school or whatever. He said that we were going to try skiing first, water skiing. And I said, okay, that's part of water sports, whatever. We get it. And so I couldn't get up on the skis. I just couldn't. And he only ever gave us like one or two tries before we switched out and out of the boat. There was not that much time. And especially based off of, you know, how to get the boat going, get everybody, you know, everybody instructed and reminded of how to do it and this, this and that. So like, you know, we only ever got like one or two tries to get up onto the water. And so I never was successfully able to do it. But then, you know, by like the second day, he told everybody, like, about wakeboarding, but we need to also bring back, you know, water skiing. It's just as good, and it's where you start. So until you can actually get up on the water on the skis, I'm not going to let you get up on the wakeboard, which is absolutely ridiculous because I'm much more inclined with a board in any way than I am with skis. And it was so ridiculous in the way, but it, not so much the rule he had, but just the reasons why and the way he did it, the way he enforced it was just completely out of line and ridiculous. But and so that annoyed me. I ended up getting rowing, and that was about it from this camp. But at one point, with my troop, the other class, the one kid was kind of not a doofus, but like, you know, he kind of like just kind of dicked around a little bit every once in a while and just kind of joked around. But like, he honestly just didn't want to get in the water. It was just too cold that day for him, and he just wasn't feeling good. And he's like, you know, I'm on this boat because I don't want to like not be on this class and have to, you know, face the scoutmaster and be like, why aren't you in class or anything like that. So he was on the boat, but Mr. Camp Director was like, no, you're on this boat, you're getting in the water, and you're on this boat, you're getting in the water. And I've heard him tell this to people all the time. And so he finally got fed up with my friend's attitude, and he essentially threw him out of the boat. And as he grabbed onto the side, you know, he started prying up his fingers and all that, and got him into the water. Like, he forced his way on him onto the water, and, you know, made him do it. And yes, that was another thing that happened with that. But the next day, and it wasn't my friend, I know, because we were all in the same tent, and we all planned something like this, but we never actually went through with it. But the next morning, we went to morning announcements, and there's a song that anytime the staff wants to be kind of incurable pranksters or anything like that, to whoever's making the announcements, they will, as soon as they get to the point of announcements, they'll sing the announcement song, which begins with announcements, 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 and then it goes on for like 10 minutes on all different little ditties about cows and who knows what else. I totally forgot all about that. But and they did that this every morning because this guy was a dick, and he let it slide. But today he just like shut him down, like screamed in their face, was like, enough, and like, you know, this is important. And so he goes on and on about how this earlier that night, because he had a special cabin, the rest of the staff slept in tents in a certain area, but he had this cabin that was in the middle of the camp, separated from the staff. And so he said that he tried to get up in the middle of the night to use the restroom, and outside of his cabin was a huge assortment of trash and trash bags laid out in front of him. And as he went to go and pick up and clean it up, a skunk came out and terrified him. And so he was trapped into his cabin until morning, until the skunk left. And so he went on and on about how we are Boy Scouts. This is against our every belief, and who I'm going to find who did this. And you know, I'm going to interrogate even the staff. No one is going to leave this camp and not have confessed something that they know. And la da 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 da. He kept going on and on and on and on about how, you know, this is not right. This is improper conduct for somebody with associated with the BSA. And he was just going on and on, and everybody had to keep from laughing. We never found out who did it. He never interrogated me personally. He stayed there for I don't know. I've never went back, so I never know if he stayed director, camp director, but. There was that. And then, other than that, everything went fine. I did a lot of swimming. Oh man, I did way too much swimming. I did an incredible amount of swimming. And at one point, and this is gonna be kind of gross. So if you don't want to, you know, hear some gross man anatomy stuff, you might want to move on. But, oh man, I swam so much and I played in the shallows for so long one day that all of a sudden I stood up and like, just everything but my balls, my dick, everything was just burning, and it just was so chafed. This is the first time I ever got any sort of chafing, and it was just burning and just scraped, and every step I took was agony. So I went straight to my little personal tent, got just stripped down and just brushed off, and just lay there spread eagle for about like an hour before it went dark. And I was just sitting there in agony, just brushing myself off from all the sand that was in between me, and just, oh, I thought I was gonna fall off. I seriously thought I was just gonna just become detached from my body and just take a hike. But I recovered from that, I enjoyed the rest of my evening from that. And I didn't start chafing again for a while. But throughout my free time, I was able to fish, and so I would stand out in the shallows and just try to hunt down fish. I think what was in the area was a lot of carp. There's a lot of carp out in Utah for sure. And, I think there has been for a long while, but, someone caught some carp, and I don't know if it's a MEPS, but I know I had a spinner. I know I had a spinner. My dad said that it was one of the best lures of all time. And you know, everybody caught everything on a spinner. I never caught anything on the spinner, but I did end up getting a hit, but I had such a lightweight, fishing line that it snapped on me. It probably snapped on something else as well, but I was so disappointed because I knew I had something. I knew I had a hit, and it just devastated me. I lost one of my favorite lures to just have fun with and just help me actually think without having to catch a fish. And it just, I felt so just disrupted in my spirit. It was the first time then we talked about it and we figured it out, and I didn't buy any bait, which I should have, but yeah, there was that. But by the end of it, oh holy crap, it was nuts. I never used sunscreen. I never did anything, never put lotion on, so my skin, it got really, really dark. I mean, I liked it. I didn't peel or anything on my shoulders, but what ended up happening is my nose got roasted, like just marshmallow roasted, like black almost. I mean, not black, but like just soup. Like it was just caked, and it was crackling. I didn't look in a mirror once that entire time. And so, and I obviously wore different clothes every day, but I ended up putting on the same thing that I put on the day I left. So by the time I got home with my peeling skin, my really dark skin, my peeling nose, and the same clothes that I had worn, my mother went into hysterics. She questioned me left and right, like, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this? Did you do that? And I said, yes, no, yes, no, like, just like that. And so I thought that when I finally looked in the mirror, I was convinced that I was turning into a lizard person, and that finally my dream of becoming a reptile of any sort was finally coming true, and that finally my macabre mind was finally being satisfied with the ability that I will now be able to do reptilian things. And so I was super, super elated, but then I got super bummed when we started peeling. But I had a lot of fun on this scout trip, and I had humorous anecdotes. And this is where I learned that peeing on a fire is not necessarily a good idea when everyone is still awake. I had some embarrassing moments with that. We had an interesting conversation about Muslim cultures. Not that anything in particular, any sort of opinions, but just don't make jokes about it in front of everybody. Is more what it was. Jeff Dunham was popular at this point, so a lot of Ahmed was coming around. A lot of jokes like that, and on long similar lines of those jokes, if you know what I'm talking about. But there was a lot to learn, and there's a lot to learn about myself and how to deal with crappy adults, as I'll put it. It especially set off not a chain reaction, but a set of similar experiences that I noticed in my life that I've experienced with specifically authoritative figures and that aren't really authority other than just those, that specific event or organization, and just how attitude and ego can get in the way and stuff. And I learned a lot about how to deal with that personally. And especially if I'm not willing enough to do something and stand up to it, which a lot of times I'm not, especially not openly and verbally. I'm just a little timid when it comes to that, when it comes to confrontation with anybody, really. I'm not gonna even lie, with the confrontation in general. But we learned a lot about how to work as a team and to be there for one another even during those things. You know, me and my friend weren't the closest, but after that I just thought to hang with him and chill with him a little bit more than I would have thought to. He was a little bit older than me, but just talking through some stuff, and the best as my 12-year-old self could do. But I also just learned a lot about myself, and that, yeah, maybe a little bit of sunscreen would help. But I mean, with that, like that was such a unique experience, because most of my camping was within wooded areas. So my face was not exposed to the sun 24/7, but also being right on the lake and most of my activities being water derived in the middle of July, summer, and the sky, like being open, no clouds, like just constantly being roasted by UV just from above and below from the reflection of the water. Like that wasn't a good idea at all. But I still never used sunscreen until I became an adult after that. And I never got burnt like that again, even despite that. But I took that with a grain of salt as well, and learned to at least allow somebody else to remind me to do it, and not fight them. It was just another experience. It was my first one alone, and it wasn't my most formative time, but it was a good enough time to teach me a lot of things of how to be kind of self-sufficient without anybody from your specific tribe to be there. And the trip was family, and we were all family with one another. But like, it's different. It's easier to ask for things or it's harder to ask for things depending on what it is. If it's not your blood relatives that you live with every day, especially at 12 years old. I know there did not happen to be any cute female staff there, which I was half disappointed by. I was a real Casanova back in the day. I love to flirt. But no, I wasn't like all the rest of the 12-year-olds and 11-year-olds that like to flirt. Like I'd be respectful and leave them alone. Yeah, bullshit. But I really liked that experience. Even if it was just purely based off of how much fun I had in camp after I got grilled by Mr. Camp Director. Water ski aficionado. I think he was actually like somebody who had actually won tournaments or something stupid like that. I don't know. I can't remember his backstory. I really didn't care enough to remember. But No. And then, yeah, this is a bit of a shorter story. There's not so much to tell on it, but I really enjoy telling this one just because it is shorter and it isn't so much to pag in. And most of my experiences have a lot to do with a lot of deep adventure. This one was just more of just a simple, you know, relaxing time. You know, it's a good place to go. I'm sure it's a better place now. I'm sure Mr. Aficionado isn't there anymore. So if you guys ever somehow make your way to it as a scouts or whatever you can do, you know, these going to Bear Lake is a wonderful time. There's a wonderful cave nearby. I don't think it's cave. It's not Timpanogos, but I think it's either Timpanogos or it's another one. But there's it's really beautiful. Been there a handful of times. It's really enjoyable. I mean, it gets cold in there, even in the middle of summer. It's a cave, which, you know, it gets freaky. They do the whole, you know, turn the lights off and think, you know, if you could find your way back out, because it's a one way. So there's no going deeper. There's no anything like that, but it was a lot of fun. I remember doing that right after too, but, yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do out there. I definitely recommend it. Right in the middle of the Rockies, just beautiful scenery, beautiful everything. The lake is gorgeous. I mean, yeah, especially if you like lakes and doing stuff like that, I definitely recommend it, especially if you're a boater or a fisherman. There's a lot of stuff, good stuff to do there. Yeah, other than that, you know, guys, keep up the good work listening here, and I love the feedback I'm getting on the Instagram, and I know I need to put more stuff onto the Facebook. I don't have time to make show notes at this moment. You know, it's just not, for the stuff that I want to do and the way I want to do it, I'm not allowing myself enough time. And I fully admit that, and that might sound shitty, but it's just what's kind of happening right now. But I totally love anything you guys have to say to me. I haven't had anything negative happen yet, which is fantastic, but I guess more of you listen than probably end up happening, but I really love feedback. Feedback is my favorite thing on this. It lets me know exactly where I need to move and what I need to move to. And I'm looking to do some new stuff. I'm looking to try to make my own name on this, and it's all adventure based, obviously, like I've said. But all adventure based in the adventures of either the mind, the body, or the spirit. And you know, I love to share that with everybody. And so I want you guys to consider something with me, and I'm gonna probably put this into place sometime soon. But there's something that I did down south during my time there. It was called a story swap. So people would meet once a week at this local restaurant, this little coffee shop, and we would share stories. It didn't matter if we'd written them. It didn't matter if we had experience them, or if they're adults, or they're short, or they're semi-long. They didn't really keep a time limit, but you can kind of tell when enough was enough. But it was just story swap. So I heard a lot of good stories, a lot of good I shared some of these stories, shared some of these adventure stories, and I read, and I even wrote in more of a prose form some of the adventures that I even had down there that I can recite to you, and I loved it. It was just story swap, and it was great, and it was a good time, and you know, you learned a lot about people you might not ever see again. And, you know, and they had some core crew that shared every week. And it was a really great time, really a lot of fun. It was more than just like a poetry reading, but it was, you know, getting really to know people deeper than that, and learning some people's stories and just hearing some really cool stuff. And I really enjoyed it. And I have thought of bringing it back in some local cafes, and I might just go push and be like, hey, you know, this is a really good idea. You know, I might bring some business in, you know, maybe open up a little bit later, and, you know, I'd obviously host it the best I could. And, you know, it's something that I really love. I love that storytelling. That's one of my biggest things. Always wanted to do it. And so I was thinking, and I'm going to bring this to the point. I was thinking about how maybe if I could do a similar thing here on the podcast. And what I mean by that is that here on Anchor, they do a thing where you can send in voice messages. I don't know how long they can be or have to be. I'd have to look deeper into that. But there's that. Or also, I think we can also record podcasts together online through this site. I think that's what it says you can do. All right, there's either that. And I was thinking that if we could make, if we, me and you, Yes, you listen to you, who's listening. Well, can be able to story swap through here, so that you know I'm already telling my stories here on this podcast, and you're sitting there, and you might have stories you might want to share with the world in general. And I think that we can bring them together. I think you can either you know come on here and recite them with me, and you know I'll definitely listen. I love hearing the good stories. I'm not going to overshadow you. You know, you'd run the show for that episode. Be my little spotlight guest. I don't care if you're famous or not, or if you have a super long story. But if you have something you'd like to share, you know, we could talk a little bit ahead of time and see if, you know, it's something that, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to fit on the theme of adventure. It really doesn't. I don't really mind talking about things that don't have to deal with adventure because, you know, stories are an adventure into somebody else's experience. So it is an adventure in a sense, but, you know, it doesn't have to deal with the theme adventure. But, you know, I don't care if it's raunchy. I mean, like, obviously, I'm not going to want to hear about your sexcapades with your wife when you were 14. I mean, if it's part of the story, you know, keep that at least a little bit lighthearted and vague. Don't really want to know the nitty-gritty details. I'm definitely not going to tell some. I don't know why I thought that. My wife would kill me, and she listens to this. So, love you, babe. But, anything like that, like any language, I don't really care. Any gruesomeness, I don't really mind at all. That's not anything that I'm too concerned about. We can figure out a way. And maybe even if you're gun shy, you don't have any access to technology like that to be able to share with that, or, you're not comfortable with your voice, or if you think that, it's stupid as sound, you think that my voice could tell it better, or if you just don't have time, it's probably more like it. More likely, you know, you could probably write up the story, and I'll rep you here. I'll represent you. I'll do my best to give the story a good enough spin. I'll literally read what you want me to say. You know, the way that you said it. You know, I might even, you know, if you want to send that in, I'll even call you, or we'll talk for a little bit, email back and forth a little bit, just some questions I might have, and. Because I want to be able to represent your story the best way possible. If I'm going to recite it for you, I don't want to botch it. I don't want anybody to think that, you know, this way or that way of you. And you know, if you have a hard time writing out your stories or emotions, I could definitely help. I'm a really good story writer too. I've helped some people write some stuff before, and you know, it's just an idea. It's just something that I'd like to do, and I think that there's a lot of room for it. And I'm going to be asking on Instagram and Facebook too, that anybody that wants to, we can figure this out. I got to learn how to use Skype or something on this too, so that, you know, if we need be, but I'm very technology handicapped right now. We could definitely figure it out. I don't think that it would take too much or take too long, but if that's something that you guys are interested in, I know I don't have a lot of listeners right now at the moment, but like, even if, you know, this is later in the future from me doing this, that anybody hears this, it's definitely going to still be throwing out there for anybody who wants it. Definitely just, you know, contact me, throw me a yes or no, yay or nay, or, you know, here's my story idea. I would definitely love to collaborate with all of you. I really don't care if you're famous. I love more. There's more stories out there than are told in common media, and you don't have to be. And most of the best stories are from people that, you know, live humble lives, you know? So we can do this together. I would really enjoy contacting with all of you. So, I'm going to end that here. Just let me know what y'all think of that. You know, have a great weekend, everybody. It's going to be a good one, at least here in Buffalo. Lots planned out, lots planned up, get you guys pumped about something. Fall is coming, lots to do. We can do it. We can prepare for winter. We got this. So with that, everybody, do something noteworthy, even if it's only for yourself.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.